Well, can I bid each and every one of you welcome? It's a joy to be here again amongst church friends and church family. Can I just begin by giving a disclaimer? I did not sleep in. You might have saw me just creeping in during the announcements. I was not in my bed. I was down south preaching. I was doing Children's Day in Carrigarry. And no sooner had I got left and I looked at the time and I thought, this is going to be tight. And I was sailing up the road and things were tight, but I managed to make it here just on time. The sat-nav said you'll be there at 7:24. I thought, oh dear. But we made it in time anyway, and so we're glad to be here. I'd like to thank the congregation. Thank you for praying for us during our exams. They're over. I could have floated home last Friday after I finished my last exam. It was a great feeling. There's still a few assignments to hand in yet, but please do pray for us. There's six fourth-year students who are eagerly awaiting what the Lord has in store for the future. And please do pray that the Lord would make known to us and would reveal his will to us, and that we would be kept in the very center of the will of God. We don't want to be where we want to be, but rather we long to be where he wants us to be. And so we do long to be in the very center of God's will. Please do pray accordingly. Please turn with me in the scriptures to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. I was telling our brother, Mr. Martin, the Lord has given me this word, and I know that the Lord has given me this word for tonight, and I'm confident of that. I'm excited to preach, knowing that the Lord has given this word so clearly. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll commence reading at verse number 7. Matthew chapter 7, let's commence our reading at verse number 7. Let's hear the word of the Lord. It's a great promise that we begin with. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen. Ending our reading at verse number 14. Let's just read the opening words of verse 13 again. Just that opening clause. Enter ye in at the strait gate. I want to preach tonight on how to get to heaven from Lisburn. How to get to heaven from Lisburn, and we trust that the Lord will bless us and will help us as we seek to understand the Lord's will with regards to salvation through his word. Let's seek the Lord's face together. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before thee this night, and we do thank thee, and we do bless thee for thy great mercy upon us. Lord, we thank thee that this is a church which still believes in preaching the gospel. Lord, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Father, we do thank thee for the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. Lord, it rejoices our heart to preach that. Lord, it rejoices our heart to consider that, to consider Christ, to consider the Son of God, to consider the one who gave himself a ransom for the many. And Lord, what joy it brings to us to be given the opportunity, the great heavenly privilege, to stand here in this place and to tell men and women that salvation is through the Lord. Father, we do praise thee for such a wonderful gospel. And Lord, we do ask now that as we come to thy word, Lord, we thank thee for giving us this word. We do believe that it is the will of God that this word should be preached here tonight. And Father, we do ask that you would come and that you would graciously afford us thy spirit. Lord, we are nothing without thee. Lord, save us. Save us from preaching in the flesh. Save us from trying to play on man's emotion and trying to manufacture salvation and trying to manipulate the work of God. Father, visit us tonight. Visit us with the Spirit. Lord, come and descend upon us. Bless us, Father, for Christ's own sake. Grant Christ his reward tonight in sinners calling out upon him for salvation. Lord, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. This is our testimony and our witness that, Lord, we would give thee all the glory if thou would save some sinner tonight. Lord, we covenant before thee that Christ would receive all the glory, that the glory would not go to man, that would not go to the church, but that it would go to the Son of God. Father, come and visit us tonight with salvation, we ask. Lord, we pray. And that sinners tonight would find that way to heaven. That sinners tonight would enter in at that straight gate. And Father, that we would know the sweet, blessed joy of pointing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, come and visit us tonight, we ask. For we pray this in the name of our Savior, our Redeemer, and our King. Amen. 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 Nowadays, we have Uber. We have Apple Maps, we have Google Maps, we have SatNav. I was using the SatNav just to get me to Lisburn this evening. And it's very difficult nowadays to get lost. There's so many apps, so many things that you can utilize to get you from A to B. But I can remember growing up before the days of Uber and before the days of Apple Maps and our cars, always growing up, they featured an A to Z of British roads. I'm sure you had that book yourself, that yellow page, dog-eared A to Z atlas of the United Kingdom. And some of them came and you had to unfold the pages and it made this massive big map about eight times the size of your car. And it would fill up the entire interior of your car as you tried to find the way which you were to go. You know, if that didn't work, young people, you'll not understand this. This is a completely foreign concept. But what used to happen was, I can remember my mother and father actually pulling in and asking people for directions. That's a complete foreign concept today. You'd sooner ask Google. But you can pull in and you can actually go into the petrol station and ask men and women, do they know where such and such a place is? You see, when we're making a journey, we need directions. We need to know exactly where we're going. And men and women, congregation here this evening, each and every one of us here tonight, none of us are exempt, but each and every one of us are on a journey. Each and every one of us are growing closer and closer to a destination. We're all making our way to an expected end, traveling to one appointed end. You and I and every member of this church are traveling tonight. And where is that end? What is the great destination to which we all must travel to? Where is the place where we all must go? Well, David spoke about it in 2 Kings in the chapter 2, on verse number 2. You see, David was dying. David's on his deathbed. He's about to pass from this scene of time. His eyes are about to close in death. And there, as David lies upon his bed and the very life is ebbing and flowing out of his body, he speaks to his son Solomon. Do you know what he says unto Solomon? The words are so important. He says to him, I go the way of all the earth. I go the way of all the earth. You see, men and women, David died. He died. There was a moment in his life and the heart stopped. And David died and he perished. And you know, so must we. We all must die. That is a place where we are all traveling to. There is a day appointed unto us, known in the annals of God, known only to the Savior, where each and every one of us must die. And that is a reality. Death is a reality for each and every one of us. You might say, well, you're being morbid. Don't tell me that I have to die. But it's a reality. All men must die. That is one certain end which we all must reach. You think of what Hebrews 9 says. And the verse 27 promises. You see, Scripture speaks accordingly. It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. And we must come to terms with the fact that there's a day coming which is our death day. There's a time coming when our eyes shall close in death and we shall pass from this scene of time and that day is set aside in the eternal purpose of God. It's appointed unto us once to die. You know, Scripture is also clear that all men must face death. But Scripture is even clearer that death is not the end. Death is not the final destination. Young people, there's this idea going about, and I want to tell this to you, there's an idea going about that when a man dies, that's it. Out into oblivion, out into blackness, there's nothing more to experience. There's nothing more that happens after death. You close your eyes in death, and that's it. You're obliterated, you're annihilated, all is gone forevermore. That's not true. Don't be deceived. There is an eternal dwelling place for your soul. You see, beloved, let me tell you this. There is a hell to fear, and there is a heaven to gain. And the Bible makes it clear that there are two destinations. There are two end destinations for your soul. And it is either hell or it is either heaven. And unless you call out upon Christ, unless you appeal for His atoning blood, unless you're united to Christ in salvation, then you'll not be ready for heaven. You'll not be accepted before the throne of God. You'll not be with Him in glory, but rather you'll be lost. You'll be condemned. You'll be left in that awful place of torment known as hell. Do you realize that? That's a reality. It's a horrifying reality. You know, sinner, you must die. Perhaps you've come to terms with that. But I ask you tonight, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? There's only two possibilities, only two answers to that question. It is either heaven or it is hell. And our text tonight speaks of that. Look with me at verses 13 and 14. In verse 13, we read about a wide gate and a broad way. And where does it lead to? It leads to destruction. Oh, but there's a narrow gate. There's a straight gate and a narrow way. And where does it lead to? It leads unto life. Which road are you on tonight? Are you on the road unto life? Are you united to Jesus Christ? You know that your sins are gone. You know that you're one with the Lord. You know that whatever come your way, you are at one with the Son of God. And you're on that road to life with the full assurance of heaven. Or must you confess tonight that you're here and you're not right with Christ? And you've never asked Him to bear away your sin, and you are rushing headlong, careening to a lost eternity, careening down that pathway of destruction. You see, the Scripture says in verses 13 and 14, it makes it clear that there's many, many who are on that road to destruction. But there's a few that are on that road unto life. You see, sinner, without Christ, and without the salvation He affords through His blood, you have no hope. And I want you to hear that. You have no hope of gaining access to heaven. You have no hope of a blessed eternity with Christ outside of Jesus Christ. But rather, you're lost. Outside of Christ, there's no salvation. And just as one who is lost in a human sense, if they're making their way somewhere and they get lost, they need direction. Well, sinner, you need direction tonight. You need direction. How are we to get to heaven? How are we to be saved? How are we to embrace the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the efficacy of His atoning blood? You see, you're in dire need tonight. Dire need of someone pointing you towards salvation. Someone pointing you to Jesus Christ. And who better to point you? Who better to point you than Jesus Christ Himself? Look with me at verse 14. The straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And the Lord commands, it's a command in the original Greek in verse 13, enter ye in. Enter in that straight gate. You see, in our text tonight, Jesus Christ Himself lays out for you exactly how to get to heaven from Lisburn. Exactly how to get to heaven from even that pew in which you sit now. There's a way to heaven from Lisburn tonight, through Jesus Christ. But tell me, will you listen to the direction of the Lord? Will you come tonight? Will you receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to go to heaven, sinner? Then hear the words of our Lord and our Savior. How to get to heaven from Lisburn? Well, the first thing we must do is we must begin at a straight gate. We must begin at a straight gate. That is where your journey must begin. Oh, you want to go to the heavenly city? You want to be with Christ forevermore? That journey begins at a straight gate. The Lord makes that clear in verse 14. And speaking of the way to salvation, Christ makes it clear that the foremost principal place where the journey to heaven begins is the straight gate. You know, that word straight, it doesn't mean not crooked. That word straight, it means narrow. It means narrow. And you know, that clear indication of using that word narrow, a narrow gate, is to indicate this. There aren't many roads to heaven. There's not a choice. You don't have a multiple choice of how you would like to get to heaven. You can't say, well, I'll get to heaven by being a good father. You can't say, well, I'll get to heaven by living the way I ought to live, by attending the church, by going to a prayer meeting, by giving my tithe. Oh, I'll get to heaven that way. I've chosen that way. I'll get to heaven by baptism. I've chosen that way. I'll get to heaven through paying into the church. You know, the way to heaven, there's not a broad way into heaven, but one singular way. And it's a narrow way, because there's no other way into heaven but by Jesus Christ alone. He is the straight gate. He is that narrow way. And access unto heaven and salvation, you must begin with Jesus Christ. And sinner, if you're here tonight and you're lost and you've never asked the Lord to save you, your journey to salvation begins with Christ. It begins with the Lord. If you're to stand before God and be accepted by Him and be at peace forevermore, you must begin with the Lord. He is the gate to heaven. Christ spoke in such terms. John 10, verse 9. I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's saying, if any man cometh by me, if any man come to Jesus Christ, if any man be found going through that straight gate, he shall be saved. It's a promise in Scripture. If you come to Christ, you appeal to Him, you trust Him with faith, He will save you. If you're to stand before God and you are to be accepted by Him, then you need a perfect, sinless righteousness. Do you have that of yourself? Can you honestly say that you can stand before God and say, Lord, I've never sinned? Of course not. The Bible tells us, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. And so how are you to stand before God without a perfect, sinless righteousness? How are you to do that? Well, beloved, in salvation, Christ is our righteousness. He credits to your account His perfect sinlessness. God, when He looks at you, He sees only His Son. And if you're to be united to Jesus Christ, He will accept you because of the merits and righteousness of His only begotten Son. You need Christ. You need His righteousness to stand before God. You know, if you're to stand before God, you need to have your sin dealt with. Can you cover your own sin? Can you try and hide your own sin from the Lord? Can you try and make amends for your own sin? Of course not. God's not going to accept that. You think of David. When he sinned with Bathsheba, how many times he tried to cover that sin, and each and every one of them failed. You see, we can't hide our sin from the Lord. But rather, our sin must be dealt with. And what is the only way that sin can be dealt with? Well, one has to suffer for it. One has to bear that punishment. One has to endure the wrath of God for sin. And so I tell you again tonight, not only do you need the perfect righteousness of Christ, but you need Christ to bear your sin. You need Christ to take the wrath of God for you. Christ is our great sin bearer. Isaiah 53 says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Beloved, He is the only one who's able to bear away your sin. He's the only one who's able to bear away your sin and make you declare you righteous before the throne of God. He suffered and He bled and He died in your place. And it's only through His blood that entrance into heaven is gained. Sinner, you need His righteousness. You need His grace. You need His blood. And all of that is found in Jesus Christ. You know, there's a great children's chorus. One way God said to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. You know, the chorus says this, no other way, No other way to go. One way, God said, to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Our children know that chorus. Tell me, do you? Do you know the truth of that chorus? Do you know in your soul that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven? You see, that way to heaven's narrow. We don't get there by being a good father, by following a religious system. We get to heaven by Christ alone, not by baptism or creed. Sinner, are you relying on Christ for salvation tonight? Are you trusting Him and Him alone? If you're to be saved today, then you must begin at the straight gate of Jesus Christ. John Bunyan, he wrote much about the gate. He references the gate in Pilgrim's Progress. And he said this about the gate. By this gate, by Jesus Christ, you can enter into God's favor and find plenteous, merciful forgiveness through His blood. You know, in John 14, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of His forthcoming ascension into heaven. He said unto His disciples, I go to heaven to prepare a place for you. You know, John, he said to His disciples at that time, whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. He's talking about the way to heaven. The way to heaven, you know what that is. But you know, Thomas, he stumbles at the Lord's words. And he says these words, how can we know the way? How can I know the way to get to heaven? That's what Thomas is asking. How can a man find his way to heaven? Do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Beloved, there's no other way but by Jesus Christ. And you will not get to heaven relying on self, relying on church, relying on minister, elder. I don't know what you're relying on, but you'll not get to heaven unless you're relying on Christ alone. Sinner, will you come to Him tonight? Will you receive Jesus Christ by faith? You know, perhaps you've long denied Christ. Perhaps you've long turned your back upon Him. Perhaps you've put off getting saved for weeks, for months, for years. Well, I'm telling you, the way to heaven from Lisburn begins at the straight gate of Jesus Christ. Did the Savior not say, no man cometh unto the Father but by Me? There's no other way to go. Tell me, will you come to Christ tonight? Will you begin your salvation by coming in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ who loved you and who gave Himself for you? You must begin at the straight gate. But this verse also reveals in verse 14, not only that we must begin at the straight gate, but if we want to find our way to heaven, we must continue on a narrow way. You see, it says that straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. You know, there's a path to be observed, and the Lord calls it the narrow way. And this narrow way, it literally refers to a difficult path. It's a path that's difficult to traverse. It's full of hurdles. It's full of effort and afflictions and tribulations. It's a path full of anguish. It's a path which requires great effort on the part of the one who travels it. And surely such terms can't be applied for salvation. But you see, there's a great misunderstanding. A great misunderstanding in how salvation is understood today. It's easy believism. And men and women, they'll tell you, oh, you just need to make a decision. You just need to make a decision. You just need to say to the Lord, Lord, save me. And you can live however you want. You can live as the devil himself. But as long as you've made that decision, you're saved and you're okay. They say that all you need to do is ask God to forgive you. And then you can live as you want. And more than that, they say, do you know what? The Lord will prosper you. The Lord will give you more and more things if you just make a decision for Him. Now, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that you just make a decision for Christ and then live however you want to live thereafter. That's contrary to God's Word. It's easy believism. We're not decisionists. Woe unto me if I preach like that. But rather, Christ didn't say the path of salvation was easy and was full of roses, but He describes it as being a narrow way which leadeth unto life. You see, in salvation, we have to have two things. Firstly, we must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen that already. We've seen how we must come unto Him. We must trust Him for His mercy. We must trust Him for His grace. We must come and have faith in the Son of God who loved us. He is able to save us by His blood, and we must put our faith in Him. But you know, the difficult part is we must also have repentance. Repentance. It literally means to turn back, to have a complete about turn. And the implication of repentance is that we must turn our back upon sin. We must turn our back upon whatever it is we're relying on for salvation. It is a habitual, continual turning our back upon sinful habits, upon sinful lusts, upon sinful engagements, and turning unto Christ to be conformed to His image. And believers, and beloved, let me tell you here tonight, if you are to be saved, you don't just make a decision for Christ. You must repent of your sin. You must turn away from sin. And therein lies the difficulty, doesn't it? Therein lies the difficulty. You see, you must not just believe. The devils believe. You must repent. You must turn your back upon sin. You see, you can't, you cannot have a hand on Christ's salvation, have a hand on His mercy, have a hand on His grace, and have the other hand on your lusts and your sins. Is the Lord going to accept that? Is the Lord going to permit that? No, rather, you must walk the narrow way. You must leave behind your sinful conversations. And you know, your tongue loves to have those sinful conversations. That's why it's difficult. Your tongue loves to have those sinful conversations. You must leave behind those sinful thoughts that your mind loves to engage in. You must leave behind those sinful habits that your hands love to perform. And you must endeavor to walk as Christ Himself walked. And the importance of repentance cannot be emphasized enough. You think about what Christ said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. There in Luke 13, here's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Lord's saying, unless there's repentance, unless there's a turning away from sin, unless there's a leaving behind those sinful desires which bring no pleasure to the Lord, which anger the Lord, which incur His wrath and His vengeance upon you, then you will perish. You will perish unless you repent. You may believe every doctrine this church teaches. You might know the Westminster Confession front to back. You might know each and every one of the intricacies of this denomination, but you'll perish in your sin if you're not willing to repent. If you're not willing to turn your back upon sin and turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, this narrow way of repentance, it's not just saying sorry. It's not just saying, Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done. It's recognizing the vileness of sin. It's recognizing that your sin is so vile that it has separated you from an eternity with Christ. It is so vile that it has passed death upon every man, upon every woman, upon every child. It's realizing that sin is so unbearable, so vile, so wretched in the sight of God that He gave His Son to the gruesome death of Calvary. If you ever doubt how vile sin is, you look to the cross and you see the Savior bleeding and suffering with the blood coming from His wounded side, crying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you ever doubt how vile sin is, you look at the Father inflicting wrath upon His only begotten Son and you'll see how vile sin is. Do you think the Lord's going to allow that into heaven? No, you must repent. You must turn your back upon your sin. Sinner, the path to heaven is a narrow way. You know, that narrow way means there's no room. No room to bring your sin. No room to bring your baggage. No room to bring your habits. But rather, you must commit your sin to Jesus Christ. You must leave your sin at His cross. You must repent of your wicked ways if you were to start on this journey. Repent ye therefore and be converted, said the apostle, that your sins may be blotted out. Do you want your sins to be blotted out? Do you want to find heaven? Do you want to get to Christ in glory? Then repent and believe the gospel. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. If we are to get to heaven from Lisburn, we must enter in at the straight gate. We must continue on the narrow way. You know, thirdly, we must reach a certain destination. You see the beauty, the intrinsic beauty of what Christ teaches here in verse number 14 is that if we enter in at that straight gate and we continue on that narrow way, the destination is certain. If we don't divert from the path, we don't take a wrong turn, then we must reach the destination. If we have faith in Christ and we repent of our sin, then we can be assured that the destination which we will reach will be life. That's a promise in Scripture. It is life for those who repent and believe the gospel. Those who turn unto Jesus Christ. What a promise the Lord lays before you tonight. What a beautiful promise. Here you've come tonight. Perhaps you're not right with Christ. Far from Him. Perhaps you've long denied Him. You've long rejected Him. And yet the Lord offers you life tonight. The very one who you've been denying offers you life. Promises you life. Assures you of life. John 10:10. The Lord revealed the very purpose of God. Why He came to this earth. Why did the Lord come to Bethlehem? Why did the Lord suffer that deep anguish there at Calvary? Well, John 10:10. I am come that they might have life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Savior came. He kept perfect obedience to God. He died that sacrificial death on your behalf that He might bring you everlasting life. God's way of salvation. Let me tell you this. God's way of salvation that we have studied here tonight, it never fails in imparting to sinners everlasting life. It never fails. There has not been one man, woman, and child who has said, well, I repented and I believed the gospel, but I wasn't saved. The promise of God is those who truly repent and those who truly believe will truly inherit everlasting life. He is able to do it. You know, how starkly does that contrast the other way? The other gate that the Lord lays out here in this passage in verse 13, there the gate is wide. There the way is broad, and many follow after it. You know, when I was reading that, my mind was immediately cast to Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, there's a great many people, and they're entering in at this broad gate and this broad way, and they're walking down this path, and perhaps you think tonight you're on that path, and everything's rosy. You've no worries, you've no cares, you've no thoughts about eternity. There's a way and it seems right unto you. Let me tell you, the end thereof are the ways of death. The Lord says that in verse 13. The end leadeth to destruction. If you're not in Christ, that's where you're headed. Destruction, torment, the wrath of God forevermore. Sinner, your sin promises you nothing. Your sin promises nothing. There's no promise of happiness with sin. There's no promise of satisfaction through sin. There's no promise of contentment. But there's only one promise that's intrinsic to sin. And that is this. Your sin promises you death. That's the only thing you can be sure of. You can't be sure that your sin will bring you joy. You can't be sure that your sin will fulfill your every wish and your every desire. But you can be sure that your sin will bring you death. That's absolute. Would you not look to that other path tonight? Would you not recognize all Christ does promise? He promises you a relationship with the Son of God. He promises you acceptance through the blood of Jesus Christ. He promises you preserving grace, step by step, day by day. He promises you the inheritance of everlasting life. What is your path promising you but destruction? You think of what the Lord promises you tonight. How do I get to heaven from Lisburn? By turning on to Christ, by coming to Him, by trusting in His person and work as the only means of deliverance from the curse of sin. How do I get to heaven? By exercising true repentance, by leaving behind the matter of sin. How do I get to heaven? By apprehending the promises of God, by understanding the Lord promises life unto those who come, and continuing on in the sure and certain hope an assurance of everlasting life according to God's word. The way of salvation has been laid before you tonight. But the great lament and the sad reality are those closing words of verse 14. Few there be that find it. Sad reality is there's many. Many men and women. And they'll come to church and they'll hear of the Lord's saving mercy. They'll hear what they need to do. They'll hear that Christ offers them salvation. They'll hear that Christ offers them life. But the message, they'll never apply it to their heart. And there's countless men and women in our land and in our country and in our churches, and they're sitting and they're unsaved and they hear the gospel message and they walk out of those doors. Tell me, am I describing you? And you walk out of those doors and you're rejecting the message of Christ and you're saying, not today, maybe some other time, but I'll not get saved today. Many hear of Christ's salvation and yet perish in their sin anyway. Don't be a fool tonight. Don't risk your soul. Don't play about with the matter of your soul. The way has been laid out before you. Would you not come? Would you not come to Christ? Would you not leave behind your sin? Answer me this, sinner. Is your sin so precious to you that you would suffer an eternity just to hold on to it for a few days longer? Is that how precious your sin is to you? Would you not put your faith and trust in Christ? Where will you spend eternity? You must reach a certain destination, but just as I close, and I'll be brief, you must start on this journey today. You must start on this journey today. Verse 13, enter ye in. The original Greek, it is a command in the present tense. The indication in the original Greek is that that is to be fulfilled immediately. Christ is saying there's no time to waste here. Enter in now. Come now. Enter into that straight gate now. Come to Jesus Christ today and receive his free offer of mercy. Because the urgency of this can't be stressed enough. Because there's a sobering thought that Bunyan highlights here. You see, the way of salvation here, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's described as being a gate. And you think about a gate. A gate is set up for two reasons. To be opened and to be shut. To be opened and to be shut. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, he has promised you his mercy. He has offered you forgiveness through his blood. He has bidden you come through the instrumentality of a preacher. He has bidden you to come and to receive salvation in the gospel. You may say the way to heaven is open to you, even right now as I preach. But I don't know about tomorrow. This might be the last time the Lord ever speaks to you. Genesis 6, in the verse number 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You see, there's a day coming to the sinner outside of Christ. And they will hear the gospel for the very last time. They will hear the Lord's exhortation for the very last time to come, to repent, and to believe. Perhaps they're even feeling convicted in their souls. Perhaps they're sitting there and they're sweating and they're discomforted as they hear the preacher bid them to come to Jesus Christ. And they say, not today. Well, the Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There's coming a day and the Lord will shut that gate to heaven for sinners rejecting him. For sinners who are living a life of constant rejection, that door will be shut. The gate closed. How awful a thing that is to consider. How sobering a thought that is. Sinner, what if this is your last opportunity to hear the gospel? You think of the Lord's parable of the 10 virgins. Oh, 5 came and they found the door was open. But 5 tarried. And 5 waited. And 5 said, not yet. And those 5 found the door was closed. They weren't permitted access unto the bridegroom. Sinner, this might be your last opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ, to enter in at that straight gate, to come to Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord in Luke 13, it's a parallel passage of this very passage we've been considering. Only the wording's slightly different. Luke 13, 24, Christ commands, strive. Strive, that literally means fight. Strive, fight to enter in at the straight gate. Oh, there's great effort that must be exerted on your part. Oh, you must come tonight. You must fight your way past your doubts. You must fight your way past that which would pull you back and your hindrances and your obstacles and your hurdles. And you must strive to come to Christ tonight. You must rush to him. You must put aside everything else, every barrier that you've set up in your heart, every barrier you've set up in your mind, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God warns in Luke 13, 24, in that parallel passage, many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. There's many who hear the gospel message and they say not yet. And the time when they decide, I'll come to Christ, what do they find? They find the way is shut. The way is shut. The day of mercy had passed, and they were not saved. Sinner, I'm telling you tonight, the Lord is bidding you to come, and he's bidding you to come now. It's time to put away those barriers. It's time to come to Christ. It's time to get saved. It's time to have the matter of your sin dealt with. It must begin today. Your journey to salvation begins tonight. Tell me, sinner, will you reject the message of Christ afresh tonight? Will you walk away from this place saying, not tonight. Not tonight will I come to Christ, but another time. Sinner, can you be assured that the gate will be open? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Sinner, the Lord is able to save you. He has promised that. But you have a responsibility tonight. A responsibility to come, to repent, and to believe the gospel. Will you go out those doors rejecting again tonight? Make this the night where you begin on that journey to heaven. You come to Christ and accept him as your Savior. If you remember nothing else, remember this. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Amen.